Steve, why don't you tell us about the 6-track EP coming out April 17th called A Year's Gone By?
Yeah, so it was recorded in Australia last year. A friend and I, who's a musician and singer-songwriter as well, I contacted him and said, "Hey, man, let's go record." And so we talked about going into a studio, but we decided we wanted to hire an old hall and do it ourselves. So we set up our own gear and basically between the two of us recorded the whole thing in about 2 weeks.
Nice. So this is all just done off the cuff. This wasn't done in a studio or anything like that.
No, basically I didn't have the money to go into a studio. So
sometimes that's a good thing though, because these songs, you know, the lead single Go Away and Miss Me. I mean, it has like an ethereal sound to it. I mean, it has, not tone or not musically or anything, but I'd kind of compare it to maybe Radiohead, The Bends, or No Line on the Horizon by U2, because those were recorded in a hall setting.
I'm a massive fan of the old school U2 stuff. Actually, a couple of people have said it reminds them of Radiohead, which I don't understand. But I do love that sort of big open space, and that's what we're trying to capture, like especially with drums.
Well, it kind of has that acoustic sound to it, where it could have been in a church or an abandoned home that you recorded it in.
And it really was. It's an old community hall, which I think barely gets used, and it's 100 years old. And so it was good. It was good to actually have all the time we needed to get exactly what we wanted. I didn't have that pressure of being in the studio and looking at the clock. So,
now, what could you tell me about the songwriting process for some of these songs, like? Go Away and Miss Me or some of the other tracks.
Yeah, I titled it A Year's Gone By because it's actually been a little while since I've released something. I try to, think of myself as a prolific songwriter, but, and anyone sort of is. I think I just had to struggle with actually releasing things, and I wasn't really happy with what I was writing there for a while. I was actually trying to do a lot of things on a computer and that, so I got frustrated with that and realized, I think I just need to get back to what I do, and that's just write on the acoustic guitar. And so it was kind of rushed. It was once I made that decision, I called Dan, who helped me record it, and basically from there until recording, I only had about 2 weeks to write all the songs.
Oh, wow. Do you think that rushed? I don't know, but that being rushed sometimes helps it.
It can, yeah. I think there's pros and cons of everything, because sometimes you can perfect the song too much. In hindsight, when I look back, I think, if I just had another couple of weeks to write a couple more songs, I probably could have squeezed an album out of it. Which is, an ultimate goal is to make an album. But I felt in this case that I just went with the strongest ones, and that resulted being an EP. So,
yeah. Well, you also don't want to take too much time. And like one example that always comes to my mind when I think about that is Chinese Democracy, where it took 17 years to make the album. And as talented as that band is, you kind of hear that in the music that album took 17 years.
Yeah.
You know,
I haven't heard it, but I can imagine.
Where there's guitar solos every 3 seconds and there's 6 guitars in every song and 4 sets of drums. Yeah. But I mean, like with what you're trying to do, rushing it through, your own process at your own pace, that kind of helps it. That kind of gives it that, that wholesome sound that those songs kind of need, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely run off instinct, and same with Dan. I think we feel like we're skilled enough to be able to hear a song and then at least pick up the guitar and start playing something that suits it, or, he's able to skillfully play the drums straight away to it and find a groove. And I think that that first initial thing that you play is usually the best. So it's, I think it's important to try to capture that in a recording.
And you're talking about Dan Parsons, right?
Yeah, Dan Parsons.
Okay. Now, who played what on the album or on the EP?
He played a lot of it. So he played drums, pedal steel, and bass. And we both sort of played the guitars. I did all the acoustic guitars, backing vocals and all that. But yeah, we sort of guide each other. Like, if I'm playing, he'll sort of, you know, be sitting there watching me saying, you should do this, and vice versa.
And that, isn't that kind of the best way to do it? I mean, I always love situations like that because, well, number one, you're not worried about the $200 an hour that a studio is going to charge you guys sitting there, you know, working on stuff. But I mean, don't you kind of love it as a musician to like just riff it back and forth and the song kind of evolves after it's written and then it sounds different? Like the end result sounds different than what you came to the recording place with?
Yeah, well, yeah, like in this case, I mean, I didn't do any demos and Dan hadn't even heard the song. So it was just like, wake up in the morning, play the song. All right, let's do it. And so there was no, there wasn't too much planning involved. So it was exciting hearing it at the end of the day, you know, seeing what you've created.
Now, there's some other great songs in there that are hold up just as much as Go Away, you know. One song I'm thinking of is Goldmine. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's probably my favorite on there. That was a song that, yeah, I wrote that just like in about 5 minutes. that's one of those cases where I just played a chord and the whole thing just came at once. That doesn't happen very often. And when it does, it usually means it's a, you know, it's a decent song. And so, yeah, that I really love the recording of that. It's really spacey and I think the vocals was first take. Most things were like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, was most everything first take for the entire EP or for Goldmine?
For Goldmine, I think. Dan's a bit of a perfectionist, so the drums took a while. But you know, we had limitations as well. Like, ideally, next time I do it, I'd like to, you know, be able to play guitar with the drummer at the same time. But we just didn't have enough microphones, so we really had to do everything separately, which is hard. You know, when you don't have, you know, proper gear and proper headphone mixes.
Oh, yeah, I know all about that, man.
Yeah.
But don't you think, you know, because sometimes I think this, that sometimes the limitations are a virtue.
Yeah, you don't think about it at the time. You sort of, well, you just get on with it, I guess, because.
Yeah, it's kind of about like a hindsight thing, but I mean.
Yeah.
Like with what you've done, I mean, I think it worked out perfectly.
Well, our aim was to make it sound live, which I think we did a pretty good job of. I don't want to spoil the magic if anyone hears it and goes, oh, it's not live. But, you know, it was to give the impression that, you know, there were bodies in the room, but really it was just Dan and I pretending we were, that there was five of us. But most of the, well, definitely the acoustic tracks, which is I cut the vocals and guitar live, which I prefer doing.
Yeah, because it always seems to have more feeling when you do it that way.
Yeah, especially for ballads. I mean, rockier songs, it's hard to do. You know, hard to get that separation, but yeah.
Now, you shot a video for Go Away and Miss Me, correct? Because I've seen it, so duh. But why don't you tell us how that came about? What's the storyline behind it? And where did you film it, and how do you think it turned out?
Well, again, limitations, which is I didn't have the money to record a $5,000 film clip, so I just called up my buddy who I do sort of funny YouTube clips with, and I said, hey, you want to make a music video? And we ended up There's another singer, songwriter, friend of mine, Josh Rennie Hines, went up to his place, and he lives up in the mountains at Woodford area in Queensland. And yeah, we didn't plan it really. Again, we just knew we were going to do a video that day, and ended up being a miserable rainy day, but actually really suits the vibe of the song. And
the weather actually kind of fits the video.
Yeah, it's kind of perfect. And we wanted to do a one take thing because we just didn't have the time to edit it. And Luke, the guy doing the video, had to go on tour like in a week, so we just didn't have the time. So we just thought, let's do something kind of melancholy and one shot. And yeah, I'm really happy with how it turned out. It's not, you know, it's not a Hollywood production or anything, but I think it suits the song anyway.
But if you think about it, though, it would stand up with a Hollywood production, because most Hollywood productions are going that route. You know, kind of that docudrama vibe, you know, single camera thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Well, I mean, don't you think?
Yeah, I love that.
Don't you think, in a way, like, serious, like musicians, like, well, see, I'm a musician myself, so musicians like you and I are kind of in what will eventually be known as a golden age of media, where you can go out there with a friend with, you know, cameras that were bought, you know, at regular stores, and they're not, you know, considered professional cameras, but in all actuality they are, because professionals are using the same equipment now, and it's all done on the cheap, and it looks pro.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because think about it. What if you're, you know, like, if Go Away and Miss Me was shot in 1995 and not, 2015, you know, it would probably cost 30 times more.
That's exactly right. And the recording process, too. I mean, the fact, you know, we can just sort of buy really good microphones for a cheap price and record it ourselves, like that. Unheard of in the 70s or 60s. You would have had to go into a studio to do it. So the fact you can, you know, do it at home or on your laptop, I mean, it opens up so much creativity.
Exactly. So would you say that we would live in what would be considered a golden age at some point, where, you know, media is crossing over onto itself? Because, you know, like, you know, without giving my age away, you know, I was in a, you know, bands throughout the 90s, and our form of social media was getting staple guns and posters and, you know, plastering the town.
That's absolutely.
You know, so what do you think of, you know, using the internet now?
Yeah, I think it's a gold. Yeah, it could be a golden age. I mean, because this stuff is so accessible, it also means that there's a lot of it out there too, like a lot of media and a lot of music which maybe shouldn't have ever been heard.
That is the downside, because now you're in a market that's oversaturated, so it gets harder to get heard. Oh,
it's totally oversaturated, and you know, and it's thrown in your face as well. Like, as soon as you open up the internet, it's all there in front of you, and you know, telling you that this is the greatest thing you should hear. Then I don't know, sort of that, maybe the golden period was maybe the 90s, when you actually had to go into the CD store and search it out yourself and find it. Because as much music there is out there, I still can't take it all in. I'm still very much I'll just listen to one artist for a month and then I move on. Maybe I'm just older, maybe teenage.
I kind of feel that way too, because I feel like maybe music was more appreciated when they physically had it in their hand and as a CD or a record.
Yeah. Yeah, and sounds like things are, you know, people are appreciating records now and the physical aspect, and I'm still getting it printed, not too many copies, but
that was going to be my next question. Are there going to be any physical copies of Years Gone By?
Yeah, no records, but I am printing it to CD. Yeah, and I've sort of set up the artwork to make it look like a record.
it does. You're right, it does. I mean, it's got a nice, you know, a nice, it's not almost, I don't want to say fully retro, but almost a retro look to it.
Yeah, it is a little vintage. Yeah, and that was a cool shot. That was just an accident again. Lots of things. Just you try to plan as many things as you can, but really, you don't know what, you know, what's going to come out or what's the best. You just have to try it.
Well, now let's talk about you for a few minutes. You were born in Papua New Guinea, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. What is that like? Because I mean, that to, you know, from Chicago's standpoint, that's like exotic.
Isn't Australia exotic or something?
anywhere west of the Mississippi is exotic to us. So
yeah, well, yeah, Papua New Guinea. It's yeah. I was born there and lived there for 5 years, and I was sort of on the. I was secluded. I was like in a mission field. So my parents were missionaries, and I grew up amongst all the Bible college people, and you know, we would venture into town every now and then. But yeah, it's definitely a different upbringing. That was my world. That's all I knew for the first five, 6 years of my life.
And then you moved to Brisbane and Queensland, right? That's where you're at now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what is the music scene like in Brisbane? Because, I mean, when I think Australia, you know, me being the dumb American, I think what most Americans think is, oh, Sydney, you know. You know.
And yeah, Sydney and Melbourne is probably, yeah, the best places as far as music industry goes.
But Brisbane is pretty large.
Oh, yeah, we're a big city. Space-wise, yeah, we're big. It's hard to get around in Brisbane. Like, you really have to know where you're going and have a car. But the music industry is pretty good. It's getting better. I think it had its glory days, like a lot of cities in the 90s or early 2000s. But, yeah, there's heaps of little venues always popping up in Brisbane. It's a nice place.
See, I would, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've never been to Australia before, but I would compare Brisbane to Australia what Chicago is to the U.S. You know, kind of a burgeoning underground scene.
Yeah, it's very suburban. It's like they call it a big country town. But, you know, it's still a thriving city. And, you know, it's a very sort of safe, nice place to exist in the world. So you're not going to find too much punk rock or angst in the music scene. It's
so what kind of music would you find if you were like touring through Brisbane's nightlife?
Oh, it's changed a lot. There used to be a lot of indie rock, but a lot of that's disappeared. I'd say, to be honest, it's just a lot of dance music.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a bit sad. Oh, my God.
That's taking over the world, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the main precinct, well, the main, like, center for music was the Valley in Brisbane, and that used to be full of rock bands. And now when you walk through it, it's just DJ. yeah. It's pretty horrible. But there are little spots around the place that are hidden, and you know, bands are playing. There's quite a movement of blues going on, actually.
Nice.
and rockabilly stuff. Most of it is covers, but there's still that going on. And people seem to be really getting into it, you know, pretending that they're Johnny Cash fans and stuff.
That's cool though, man. You know, well, I mean, because when I was growing up, some of my favorite bands, I didn't realize this when I was a kid, but some of my favorite bands are Australian bands. And I'm not talking about the obvious ones like, you know, AC/DC, but I'm talking about like Silverchair and the Church, you know, stuff like that as well. So, I mean, you know, and we get a lot of stuff from Australia. It's pretty diverse, man. I mean, well, we get a lot of the DJ stuff too, I'm sorry to say, but
yeah,
that's not my department.
So you guys started it, didn't you?
Oh God, I hope not. So, well, where do you play out live? I mean you're gonna do a national tour, so let's talk about that. Where have you gotten booked at so far?
Yeah, it's, well, I'm playing, I try to aim for like smaller venues, which I find sort of my music goes down the best. It's too difficult trying to sing over a large, rowdy pub crowd. And the thing, you know, I'm sure it's the same in America, but once the weekend comes, everyone is out to get drunk and have a, you know, good time, which is fair enough. But
that's Friday night at 5:01 here every weekend.
yeah, which is why, you know, the cover scene and the DJ scene works really well, because you don't really have to listen too carefully. You just, you know, they go hand in hand. But I try to aim for some smaller venues, which are more of a listening crowd. So,
and don't you find that you get the best feedback from those crowds too?
You do, and you actually sell CDs, which is why I'm still printing CDs, because I, you know, if I can play a good little gig in front of, you know, 30 to 40 listening people, I can sell my music, I can connect, and I find it's so much more rewarding, you know, compared to playing to 200 rowdy people.
Well, and on top of that, I think, you know, like I said, you know, touring, you know, being in the touring scene myself, the smaller places are where you get the more loyal fans from.
Yeah, for sure.
The ones that'll actually pile into a station wagon and follow you to the next town.
That doesn't happen here.
Oh, okay. Sometimes that happens here, but it's the wrong crowd. You know.
Oh, it's the police.
Yeah, exactly. But,
Maybe that happens for other artists, but I don't really know. People don't leave their town very often in Australia.
Well,
we're in the country. It's like to get to the next town, it's another 2 hours, 3 hours away.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to ask. I mean, are you playing Perth?
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, fuck them, right? No, I'm just joking. No,
I haven't even been to Perth.
Oh, wow. Because that would be what? That would be like a 16-hour trip, wouldn't it?
Oh, easily. I think it's an 8-hour plane ride, six to six, yeah, something like that.
Because people forget that Australia is not only a country, it's a continent.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a lot of stuff in the middle you got to get through to get to the other side.
No, it's big, and it makes touring hard, because you have to drive so far, and so you know, your petrol costs and or gas, which you'll call it. It's expensive. You know, it's not just like play a town and then half an hour away there's another, you know, town of 50,000. It's you do have to drive sometimes 4 to 5 hours just to get to the next place.
Now, do you find it though? Having said that. You know, like if you do that, or when you do that, or whatever, that you find the next town is significantly different than the one you just played?
That's a good question. I think it a lot depends on the environment. Like, we're playing a few coastal towns, which is, you know, like the Byron Bay, which they're all on the beach, so they're definitely more the surfy crowd. Which they like, you know, like their roots and acoustic music, and I mean, I think the people aren't too different, really. Australians are all pretty similar. We all get along.
Kind of like Americans are. Like, you can go anywhere in America, and you can pretty much tell where they're from, but you can also tell they're all Americans.
Well, no, we all sound the same. That's I can tell, you know, a New Yorkie or someone from the West Side. Like, you guys have different accents. We don't. So.
Oh, really? Yeah.
No.
We've got some pretty diverse accents here.
Oh yeah. You mean you've got the South and the North, but I can probably tell someone from Adelaide or Tasmania, they've got like a more of an English accent, but we're all the same, unless you're like a redneck, you know, someone out in the farms.
Now, where is your tour going to commence, and where's it going to go through, having said all that?
Yeah, so it starts in Brisbane, which is where I am, and And actually, Dan Parsons, the guy, the producer, he's touring with me as well. So the two of us start in Brisbane, and then we go down the east coast, so through Byron Bay and Newcastle, and then across to Canberra, the capital, and then down through to Sydney as well, and then down through to Melbourne, and then Tasmania as well.
Oh, nice, nice. So, yeah. So you're gonna cover some ground here.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a lot of kilometers.
Yeah, I mean that's a stretch, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you did that in America, you'd end up in Mexico. Like, that's how big it is.
I mean, what you're talking about is basically New York to L.A.
Maybe it's not that far. Yeah, but it's a big distance. Yeah, and driving back as well. Like, it takes some time.
So what do you have coming up then? I mean, like, what are your plans? Are you planning on keeping the momentum going and doing album tour, and then expanding out of Australia? Or?
There was talks of maybe doing a tour of New Zealand. And yeah, there isn't too many plans, to be honest. This was such, you know, hard work just getting this planned. getting an EP finished is hard enough. And, yeah, I mean, I still want to keep touring and sort of be on the road for a bit longer this year. And one plan is actually I'm going to the States in September.
Oh, here?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
So I'm going end of August. I go to LA for 4 days, and then flying to Austin. So I'm going to check out Austin, and then I'm going to do a road trip up to the Americana Festival in Nashville.
Oh, nice. So you're going to be playing in the U.S.
Not as yet, no. I'll be busking, that's for sure.
Because you know what? I mean, with you going to Austin, your music would be really suited for Austin City Limits. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
I mean, you would go over really good there.
Man, my dream is to actually play my music in America. So I think I'd have a much easier time getting my music across to you guys. It's a bit of a push, a bit of a struggle in Australia where, you know, it's still very much a niche genre over here.
And, well, I think your music would go over good here. And I think, you know, two of the places you mentioned, I mean, I think it's almost a sure thing. Austin one and Nashville being the other, because Nashville is not the country capital of the world as you think of it anymore. I mean, it's a mecca for music at this point.
Yeah, I keep reading articles about it, and I've got some friends that are living there, and yeah, they said it's diversity and lots of genres, which is exciting, because I mean, too much country is probably a bad thing.